This show contains language and themes that may be considered offensive to some. Please use your best judgment about whether or not you should be listening. Sci-Fi Noise. I'm your host, Derek Howard. Sci-Fi Noise can be found at sci-fi-noise.com as part of the Deliberate Noise Network. For more details, please go to deliberatenoise.com. If you'd like to send feedback, you can email me. My email address is Derek, that's D-E-R-E-K, at deliberatenoise.com. Or you can call the audio comment line at 734-331-0772. All right. Recently... Oh, jeez, I don't think it's really all that recent now. I was on Quora, which is a question and answer site. It's sort of like, it's been described as Yahoo Answers for smart people. Although I don't know if that's necessarily fair, because I've actually read some pretty good answers on Yahoo Answers. Jeez, totally blank. And I have also read some pretty bad ones on Quora, you know. But that is the reputation they both have, right? Anyway, it was in science fiction, and it was about somebody said I forgot exactly what the question was, but the gist of the question was, who do you think has done the most damage to science fiction in like the last 30, 40 years of that? No, it was more than 40 years. But you know, who has done the most damage to science fiction? And, you know, the answer that this one person gave was George Lucas. And I'm thinking, all right, here we go. Here's a Star Wars fan who doesn't like, you know, the so-called social justice warrior aspects that have been introduced into the series and all that kind of stuff, you know. So I'm really ready for, you know, just some straight up garbage, right? A garbage discussion about a garbage topic that doesn't even really exist, you know. So that's what I was expecting. But instead, what I got was an answer, the type of answer I like. It's something that I never would have thought of, you know. And that's actually what I like to try to do on my podcast. It's like, if conventional wisdom is one thing, I try to think not outside the box, because it's kind of dumb, you know. It's a box, right? If the subject is inside the box, why would you think outside the box, right? But what I try to do is I try to look at the box differently, all right? I try to look at it from a different angle. Not even really what the actual... not actual... If everybody says that The Matrix was a great movie, but the other two weren't, then, you know, I really have a problem with that, you know, and I think people have listened to this podcast for quite a while know I have a problem with that, because I thought that the first Matrix movie, which isn't a bad movie, I think it's overhyped, okay? There was a lot of talking in that movie. I don't know if people realize exactly how much it was. It's sort of like the movie The Avengers, when, you know, Marvel's The Avengers, you know, this is the one that everybody loves. It's like the best comic book movie of all time at the time, right? I tried to watch it again with I forgot how old Steven was, but with a little kid, right? And he was bored silly. And I thought, wow, I didn't realize there was a whole lot of talking in the beginning of this movie. So, you know, that made me look at that movie, you know, drastically different. And I think that a lot of people who think of The Matrix, they think of all the action sequences, but they don't realize it takes quite a while to really get going, you know. But with The Matrix sequels, they don't have to do a whole bunch of setup or world building. They can just tell these really tripped out stories, you know, so starting from the beginning, you know, which is what they did. Those movies were meant to be action movies, and they were action movies. They had a lot more action than the first one did, and that's why I appreciated them more, you know. But anyway, so what I try to do is I try to think about things in a different light, and this is something that I never really thought about. He said that George Lucas pretty much standardized this particular type of storytelling. I forgot what it was, but it's just like making, I forgot what they called it, but what I call it, like the chosen one, right? That might even be what they called it, like the chosen one syndrome. Before Star Wars, where Luke just pretty much stumbles across his destiny, you had things like Star Trek, you know, and I'm not getting into the whole Star Trek versus Star Wars thing, but pretty much what they didn't point out all the things that heroes had to do to become a hero, you know, they didn't really say, all right, we're going to show James T. Kirk from the very beginning when he's a cadet working his way through, you know, with all the different courses he had to take and all the studying he had to do and all the calisthenics they had to do. You know, you just knew based on the stories that they were telling is that by the time they got to being on the bridge of Enterprise, that they had to do some work to get that far, you know. It's a lot of the protagonists prior to Star Wars were astronauts, you know. So when, because this was shortly after, or even probably during the space race for between the U.S. And Russia, we knew what astronauts had to go through to get that far, you know. I mean, the book, the right stuff hadn't come out either in the movie, but, you know, we knew about the training. We knew that these were either military men or highly trained test pilots, you know, stuff like that. You know, we knew that they had to work hard, right? And so to go from that to a farm boy on a backwater who has absolutely no training, you know, at first it was kind of cool because we got to see his training. But when you really think about that whole original trilogy, right, he had, maybe a couple of hours with Kenobi on the Millennium Falcon. And then he had, let's just be generous and say a week, although I'm pretty sure it was much, much shorter than that, with Yoda. Although I always thought there was something weird about how time worked on in the Dagobah system, specifically on that planet that that Luke and Yoda were on. So I'm going to say it was probably around a week, because he didn't even get a chance to like grow facial hair. But it was like really a very short time, and yet he can take on somebody with the power of the Emperor and Darth Vader, you know. That was, yeah, you know, as a kid, I'm thinking, oh, wow, that's great, you know. When you start to think about it, it's like, yeah, he really didn't have to work all that hard. And then, you know, going forward, you had a lot more people like that. You know, you had Neo, who at least they did show doing some sort of training, but really, he shouldn't have been able to take on an army full of Smiths. You know, I mean, there's a lot of, what's it? Aragon? I haven't read Aragon or seen the movie, but apparently it's just Star Wars with dragons. And if that's a misinterpretation, somebody please let me know. But that was, all of a sudden, it made writing, especially science fiction and fantasy, a lot easier. You know, you don't have to talk about their training. You just say, oh, hey, they came across some artifact and now they're the one. They are the chosen one. In video games, that's something that happens all the time, you know. In fact, I do believe that the plot for Baldur's Gate was pretty much that, you know. Farm boy stumbles across his destiny. You know, there's a lot of farm boys out there who are stumbling across their destiny. But it's not like Colonel Taylor from Planet of the Apes, who was a astronaut, you know. It's not like the guys from 2001 Space Odyssey, you know, who were astronauts. Yeah, and even if they are highly trained, they usually end up becoming the one and stuff they aren't trained for. Because Avatar is a perfect example of that, you know. You have this guy who was a trained military guy, you know, who was training, picking up guns, shooting things, battle tactics, calisthenics, stuff like that. But all of a sudden, he gets into a new blue body and he can do all the things that trained warriors can do, you know? Which, in his case, maybe a little bit you can see, but remember, he also couldn't walk. So, you know, all of a sudden, he's not really, he doesn't have to relearn, his mind doesn't have to relearn what his body had been unable to do for years, you know? And like I said, he can all of a sudden tame wild animals and stuff like that. So that's really nothing that I had ever thought about, you know. I mean, like most people I write, or most comic book fans, I've written my own stories. And I was trying to think, I don't have a whole lot of characters who have been forced, you know, who fall into that category of the one where they stumble across some magical or scientific artifact. I take that back. I have a whole team of people like that. But it's, I don't know, it's a little different, right? Anyway, yeah, the original, I'm starting to think about this now. That is even bled through into comic books, you know? Because before, and I'm trying to think if it's around the same time or not, but at least before, you have people like Batman who spent his life training, you know? Green Arrow, who was stuck on that island, who pretty much had to train himself on how to use a bow and arrow and all that kind of stuff, right? By the way, if you've never read early, the origin of Green Arrow, it's just like the TV show, only instead of taking 5 years for him to become Green Arrow, he was Green Arrow in, was about 16 pages. Anyway, you know, you had Tony Stark, who was this engineer, the coolest cat with a heart of steel. Anyway, you had him who taught him his stuff. Captain America, who was a trained soldier, once again. You have Spider-Man, who, yeah, he may have, like, pretty much stumbled across his powers, or his powers stumbled across him, but the stuff that made Spider-Man Spider-Man, you know, the web shooters, you know, that's something he came up with, right? The fighting, his fighting style, I remember, you know, he was a wrestling fan, so he probably picked up most of that from there. But anyway, you go from that to Star-Lord. I'm talking about Peter Quill, but I'm talking about, like, when he first appeared. There was an alien who came from nowhere who said, hey, I'll give you, like, the greatest power ever to the people of Earth. You just have to pick your representative. And so they picked this guy, and Peter Quill, who thought it was supposed to be his destiny, when the time came for the guy to get, like, teleported to where he was going to go, Peter just ran up, pushed him out of the way, and then he ended up getting the power of the Star-Lord. And, you know, he had the elemental gun and the ship named Ship. Drastically different from the movies, by the way. And then after that, you started seeing more things like that, you know. And I'm jumping all over the place in terms of a timeline. But... I just had the guy I was thinking about right on the tip of my brain. But anyway, so, you know, you see what I'm saying. If they weren't somebody who stumbled across something and it's like, let's just make them all mutants, you know, or they have the X gene, you know, or they're hidden ultras, you know, stuff like that. It just became easier to say, no, there was no training involved. This was just them. You know, this was their destiny. This is what they had to do. Which, I don't know. Until they pointed out that George Lucas was the one who actually popularized that. And I'm pretty sure that they were things for the chosen one. Before George Lucas, but let's face it, yeah, they weren't anything compared to Star Wars. There are very few concepts and franchises out there who can compare to Star Wars. Even if people go ahead and lose their shit over it, there's a reason why. Star Wars is Star Wars. I don't know how to put it. No, it's fucking Star Wars. Anyway. Because I remember that when Force Awakens comes out, there were people who were actually happy that Rey fell into that whole concept of the Chosen One, you know? And I think that was the first time I even came across that whole concept. Because, you know, I didn't really think about it. She was somebody who just stumbled across a magical artifact. And even as I read that, I thought, yeah, okay. Well, actually, it's kind of a throwback to, a callback, I should say, to Luke Skywalker. But, yeah, I can see where they're going with that. Yeah, so anyway, let me know what you think. You know, send me an email at Derek, that's D-E-R-E-K, at deliberatenoise.com. Or you can actually, if you want to, you can record a sound file and send it to that email address. Or you can just go ahead and call the audio comment line at 734-331-0772. Thanks for listening, and I'll be back soon with another episode.